was a special kind of hell, Rika Mueller often thought, to be as old as she was and have to live among all these young women. Old women were largely invisible in the wide world, and for the most part, she didn't mind. If you were invisible, you were ignored, and that meant you could do whatever the hell you wanted. But young women noticed you, often with a kind of superstitious, anticipatory distaste that made Rika want to cackle like iron-nosed Vasuru Baba and hiss dramatically, "Beware! As I am, you will one day be. Yes, you, Arlene Hope. You too, Nora Walsh. Old, wrinkled, and creaky-kneed." If it wasn't distaste, it was compassion.
"Oh, the poor thing, why do you think she never smiles?"
Fliss Orton, who lived in 2A across the hall from Rika, was especially prone to that kind of look. There was nothing for it but to be so unpleasant in response that compassion turned to dislike. It had taken a solid year to achieve dislike from Fliss. If people didn't like you, they left you alone. But even though Rika disliked almost everybody, she couldn't quite dislike Grace March, who never looked pitying, never wrinkled her nose in distaste, and wasn't nosy. That is, she asked questions, but wasn't put off if she didn't get answers. And Rika rarely answered anything. "Going on a visit?" Grace asked as the two of them shelved books. Working as a page, that was all Rika was qualified for. "With no proper degree or anything, it's all I can offer you," the librarian had said when she hired Rika 5 years ago. "I noticed you brought an overnight bag to work this morning," Grace went on. "And the clerk said you'd taken a half day today." Rika grunted, standing on tiptoe to push a volume of Proust onto the top shelf. Proust, now there was a cream puff for you. Couldn't write without sitting in a cork-lined room to calm his fear of germs. Philosophers ought to toughen up, Rika thought, or their philosophy wasn't worth much. Life wasn't going to coddle most people in a cork-lined room while they worked out their demons. "We'll miss you at the Briar Club tonight," Grace went on, reaching easily over Rika's head. "Arlene's hinting she'll bring that beau of hers. I believe he's a junior FBI agent." Chat, chat. Rika tuned it out, not bothering to listen either, when the head librarian came over and began twittering about story hour.
"If you can take it today, Grace, Rika can finish these books, can't you? Finish up books,"
the librarian repeated, miming. 5 years Rika had worked here, and the woman still behaved as if Rika barely spoke the language. She had lived in this city over 10 years, but she'd never lost her Berlin-Budapest clip, no matter how hard she tried. And Americans made a lot of fuss about "give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses," but most of them definitely preferred a certain kind of immigrant, the kind with no accent. And gratitude, plenty of gratitude. "See you tomorrow," Grace said as they reached noon, with another of her easy smiles.
"I hope,"
Rika grunted, picking up her frayed bag and stumping off toward the door. Her heart was thumping in her chest, and she almost smiled.
Home, she thought. Going home.
Or at least the nearest thing she had to it, after leaving Berlin. No one looked twice at Rika as she boarded the train. Just a woman in her 70s with a wrinkled, nut-brown face, a knot of straggling iron-gray hair, bent shoulders, and a little pot belly she couldn't get rid of, even on the lean weeks when she was only eating once a day. An old woman with an ugly coat the color of a dirty sidewalk, and a carpet bag sitting on her feet like a tired dog. Sometimes people dropped coins at Rika's feet, thinking she was a panhandler, and she could imagine Otto shaking his head disapprovingly when she picked them up.